it's a great good for us to have a Rav Shechter finish Shira on the Masechta that we're learning. And after the Shira, Rav Shechter agreed for a few moments to answer questions if some of you have issues that you would like to raise. We have a Mishra Rabban that one, any Malacha that one is not permitted to do, is not permitted to ask the Nafi to do it on his behalf. That's what we call Amir and Nafi Shvut. This is the Mishra Rabban. What is the Dinda like with the Dinda pattern here? So we have a topic in the with all of the related aspects of the Shevet Mitzvah. A non-Jew is not plain non-Jew is not about the worship of the Zorah. But if Ger Tosho is not only not about the worship of the Zorah, he has to observe Shabbos also. He's going to violate Shabbos. That's indirectly a demonstration of just denying the story of creation. So that's the Gemara in Kriyas of Tzavim has two Tanaim. Gemara has a bright three Tanaim, not a Machloekas. Three by Machloekas. The first two Tanaim say that's Pshat and Chumash. And that's Erev Satin. It's the Ger Hashem Misharecha. The Ger Tosha is not permitted to do Malacha on Shabbos. But the Tanaim were bothered with the following problem. We have a Pasuk in Parshas Noach. It says, Yom HaMalayla Lo Yishbosu. After the Bible was over, so it says in the Chumash that the non-Jews are not permitted to observe Shabbos. Kais, Machoret, Yom HaMalayla Lo Yishbosu. It's a long post. I left out a lot of words in the post. Oh, can they work?
No,
because of
the
Chumash. Okay, so it's a long post. The Gemara understands that question to me that a non-Jew is not permitted to observe Shabbos. Nothing should show us. It's open up there, he's tied. So how can you say that the Ger Tosha is obligated to enhance his observance of Avodah Zarah by not violating Shabbos? Because whoever observes Shabbos is demonstrating, is reliving the story of creation, he's demonstrating that he believes in God and he believes in the story of creation. So the non-Jew has to enhance his observance of Avodah Zarah by observing Shabbos, but nothing should show us is tied. So the first time it is that by saying that the Ger Tosha is obligated to observe Shabbos, that's what it says in our service, and this is Ger Hashem Sherecha, but we only observe Shabbos when we would observe Yom Kippur. He's allowed to do Eichel Nefesh. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos when we observe Shabbos. That would be a violation of Lo Yishbosu. The Nochri, the Ger Tosha, has to observe Shabbos like a Jew would worship, like a Jew would observe Yom Kippur. The next time it says, no, that's also not enough. That the Ger Tosha will observe Shabbos the way we observe Yom Kippur, that will be a violation of Lo Yishbosu. So the Ger Tosha has to enhance his observance of Avodah Zarah by observing Shabbos when we would observe Chol HaMoed. And the third time is Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Third time he says, no, that's not going to help. Even if Ger Tosha will observe Shabbos that we observe Chol HaMoed, that will also be a violation of Lo Yishbosu. So he's not going to observe Shabbos at all. As much as we would like to interpret the pasuk like that the Ger Tosha accepted, who committed himself to observe the Shabbat mitzvahs, is obligated to enhance his observance of all the Shabbat mitzvahs, and to observe all of those Abizrayus, all of those things that are related to the mitzvahs, but Shabbat he can't introduce to the Ger Tosha, even if he observed Shabbat like Kalamari, it will also be a violation of Lo Yishbosu. So the time of the Gemara says, we pass my Kapshim by Choy. The Gemara says, there increases the Testament of the first was Rabbi Akiva, and then was a different gears, it was Rabbi Shmuel, another time, the third time was Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel says, I love Rabbi Shimon by Chai. So will that hang? So what does the Pasuk mean when it says in our service, that Dibur Matas Kamalacha, the Ger HaShem Shereha? If the Ger Tosha is not permitted to observe Shabbos, what is the Ger HaShem Shereha? The Tosha is right, the Nivamis, the middle of Nivamis, the Barakah HaLeit, the Pasuk means that the deeds of their eyes are Amir Lanafi. I'm not allowed to ask the Ger Tosha to do Malacha for me. So there is such a deeds of their eyes. Amir Lanafi, if I ask the Ger Tosha to do Malacha for me, that's the deeds of their eyes. So we have a cloud called the Tikkun Rabbani Kain Der Eyes of Tikkun. So the Hachamim extended that in their eyes. Not only is it possible to ask the Ger Tosha to do Malacha for me, even if you ask a regular Nafi to do Malacha for you, it's also awesome in the Rabbani. The asking Ger Tosha to do Malacha for me, that would constitute a Nisa Deraita. And the Nisa Deraita, we would only permit it to Muslim Tikkun Nefesh of stopping Tachan as a Pasha, like eating Chazan, like doing Chal Shabbos, like doing an Aveir. But the Amir of the Nochri, that's only in the Rabbani, that the asking Nanji, who's not a Ger Tosha, to do a Malacha for me, that's only Nisa Deraita. So the Gemara has a whole list of Kulas. We have a Kula, for example, that you have farmers who have cows, you don't milk the cow, so it's very painful. A woman who's nursing a baby, she doesn't nurse a baby, it's very painful. So we say, Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam stop on the time, we would permit Amir Lanochri. We have to have a non-Jew to milk the cow on the Jewish farm on Shabbos. We permit it. Because it's Amir Lanochri, the Rambam stop on the time. We have to be careful that the Nochri who's going to milk the cow should not be a Ger Tosha. It's a Ger Tosha, so you're in violation of the Nisa Deraita. And there's no Pikoch Nefesh for a person here. The Pikoch Nefesh is a Hema, not there for Shabbos. there's no drop and she wouldn't be mutter. So for example, the Gemara says in our Sefer Shabbos and the Din of Shulchan Aruch, you have a Chodesh Shabbos HaKona. So we permit Amir or nothing. We would have a non-Jew drive a person to the hospital if he doesn't feel well. He doesn't know something HaKona. So he just a Chodesh Shabbos HaKona. We would permit Amir or nothing Shulchan. So that would only be if the Nachri is not out of their session. The Nachri is their session. The Tariqa, their Aita. So then we only have to be because Nefesh is something because Nefesh. Or we have the Halacha in the Gemara. Let's say there's a traitor, there's a fire, and the secret terror is going to get destroyed. And the only way to save them is to have a non-Jew put out the fire, to have a non-Jew carry the secret terror and the Rishu Terah and their Aita. So we would permit Amir of the Nachri, the Nachri might come to the Kodesh, provided that the Nachri is not a Ger Toshav. If the Nachri is a Ger Toshav, then it's an Issa Deraita, so then you don't have any of these attempts. So we're not going to have a list of 10 Heterim or so. That since Amir of the Nachri is only the Rabbanon, so the Nachri from this Tzav, the Nachri from that Tzav, in different instances we allow Amir of the Nachri. Here the Gemara has been in Gitna, and this is one of the same cases. The Gemara says, because Amir of the Nachri is only the Rabbanon, so therefore, the Makam Mitzvah, Isha, Eretz Yisrael, we would permit Amir of the Nachri. What's the example? So the Gemara gives an example. A non-Jew is prepared to sell his field to a Jew on Shabbos. And if the Jew doesn't buy it on Shabbos, he may sell it to a different non-Jew, and will never get a chance to buy it up. This is a Mitzvah Shahari years ago. Rav Kook was still alive. Rav Kook died in 1935. So the Jewish agency, the Jews were buying up, I think the Jewish agency was buying up areas from the Arabs. So there was one location in an Arab, somewhere near Hebron or something, but they're having an auction, they were selling a whole area on Yom Kippur. So the representative of the Jewish agency, Yitzchak Kook, is allowed to go buy it on Yom Kippur. So he passed him and said, "Me tomorrow, I've been offered his mutter." So he said, "Have enough to drive you, try to stay so that cool. Have enough to drive you, have enough to do all the writing and carry the money and everything. You don't do any more luck." And then it didn't work out exactly the way it was supposed to. He had enough to drive him through a Jewish area. So the Jews throw the guy right in his car, but it started screaming, "Shabbat!" And it started Yom Kippur. Also, Rakuk told him in advance, make sure you have the number you drive, you took out for, but it shouldn't be right next to the shul. Other people are going to get all the time. So they said, this is the Gemara, this is the Shulchan Aruch. Here is a famous discussion in the Tosfos. What exactly is the nature of this heter? I'm permitted to have the number you write the document, I guess the number you could fill out the document to sell me another number you prepared to sell me a field. So I get one object to fill out the document. That I should buy the field up from the non-Jew. What is the nature of this head? Why is Amir not a Muslim from the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So the Rishonim have different opinions. They have four different views that are expressed. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes an opinion from the Sefer Eitur, that's one of the Bali studies, the Sefer Eitur is of the opinion that Amir not a Muslim from the Muslim in any Mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a bigger Mitzvah than any other Mitzvah. Maybe in our generation it is. Maybe that's the Mitzvah of the year. Different times, different businesses are more important than the start, but more important than other businesses. Now, Pialoche, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not more important than any other businesses. So that's what the Baha'u Yitzhak and the Sefer Yitzhak understood from this Gemara, from other Gemara, and everything that Tosfos quotes. That Amir and Nachri, you're allowed to ask the Nachri to do a Mavacha Deraita to fulfill any Mitzvah Deraita. So Mavacha Mitzvah is good. But Amar recommends you shouldn't follow this sheet of the Baha'u Yitzhak. Because the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim do not agree. So how do you understand the Pshat and this Gemara? Why is Amir and Nachri Mutar over here from Abu Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So some Rishonim say, the Ramban, in the end of Pshat, is not like he says it. Even though we don't accept the view on the Baha'u Yitzhak, that Amir and Nachri Mutar from Mokhan any Mitzvah, but from Mokhan Mitzvah, the Rabbi Mutar. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this in the Hayyot. That the Mokhan Mitzvah Diraman, the Mitzvah Diraman is a different, more important Mitzvah. The Mokhan Mitzvah Diraman is to submit Amir al-Nachri. So that's what some interpret in the Gemara. There's two different Mitzvahs. There's the Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's the Mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a Mitzvah Sarabim, Mitzvah Tatsibur. The Jewish community has an obligation to buy up all the land, to gain all of the land in Eretz Yisrael, to get it under Jewish control. That's the mitzvah of the Rabbi. Then there's the mitzvah of the Yachid. Every individual Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael. So this was a shaila that was discussed halacha l'maaseh for several centuries. The daughter came up recently in Russia under the communists. So there was a period of time they wouldn't allow Jews to go to Eretz Yisrael. There was a period of time they would let you go to Eretz Yisrael, but the travel bureau of the government was only open on Shabbat. How are you going to buy a ticket? It's only open on Shabbat. So the truth of the matter is, living under the communists was a stuffy stuff under the bus. See, if they'd be allowing the house shoppers to go to America, to leave Russia, just to save your life. But ignoring that issue of the topic that comes to Russia, would you permit Amir of the Nakhri, if I'll pay a non-Jew to come with me and stand by the travel here, he'll carry the money for me, and he'll fill out all the documents, and he'll do all the talking, everything. The guy will do all the office for me. Would you permit Amir of the Nakhri? We're not buying up land, we're not redeeming land from the Arab and American soil. We're buying a ticket that I should be able to live in American soil as opposed to living in Russia. I want to live in American soil. So that's the chodesh ha'yachid. That's not a mitzvah of people. The mitzvah of the rabbi is yishuv Eretz Yisrael, buying up Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs and building up Eretz Yisrael. That it should be a beautiful country, paving the highways, making buildings, planting forests, planting farms in there. Those who work in the army to make security for the country, to establish a decent economy, you should Eretz Yisrael, that's the mitzvah of the Rav. My living in Eretz Yisrael, that's the mitzvah of the Yom. So this was a big dispute years ago, the 1600s. There's a big machlokes hachlokes, where the Gemara says that Amir and Nachri is mutter, is only the mock a mitzvah of the Rav, should Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, like other Rabbah. That's the literal translation. But not only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of the Rav, meaning Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, that an individual person should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Sayyachid, we would also be mitzvah. So again, so the first sheet is to learn the Gemara in the Bavli Yisur, quoted by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Someone just gave me a sheet here, so the Ramah is quoted here, if anybody has the sheet. It's in the Reishayim Vav, 5th day, the Hilchos Shabbos. So the Ramah quotes in the Bavli Yisur, Yeshom, that Amir of the Nachar is mutter the Mokha Mitzvah, any mitzvah, but he doesn't recommend that you follow that Bavli. We don't really accept that. The second sheet is, like the Ramban writes in the end of Masechta Shabbos, we don't accept the Bavli either by mitzvah the Yachid, but by mitzvah the Rabbi we do accept it. And here the Gemara is only the Makom Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah the Rabbi, we allow Amir Ramban. Other poems is loved after Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah the Rabbi, even Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. I should buy a ticket to live in Eretz also mitzvah Amir Ramban. Why? So the Ramban Shulchan Aruch quotes a wild opinion that the Mishnah Brura or Hashulchan Zohar is so utterly ridiculous. They just said it's not shy to follow this opinion. So the Ramban quotes the following view from the Or Zarua, that what Malacha is the guy doing over here? He's writing the document. Close to the Malach Ono. The guy is going to write the Shtar on Shabbos. Sivan Shabbos is the Malacha they're writing. No. So there is a minority should the minority opinion that the Malacha Deraita Ksiva only applies if you write in Shabbat Shuris, Hebrew letters Shabbat Shuris like in the Sefer Torah, or if you write in Yevamos. Sorry. But if you write in Rashi script, or you write in Hebrew script, not Shabbat Shuris, or you write in Arabic, or you write in English, or you write in any other alphabet other than Shabbat Shuris is one, Shabbat Yevamos is the other one, so that's not recognized. The Malacha doesn't recognize other scripts. The halacha recognizes all the languages. The halacha says you can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Deraita B'Chaloshim. You can fulfill the Birkat Hamazon Deraita B'Chaloshim by benching in other languages also. Which languages are recognized? English, French, Spanish, Alpi Parshas, all the languages are recognized. Any language that's used by a significant number of people. It's also shall. How many people have to speak the language that it should be recognized as a spoken language? So that's as far as Kolloshan and that speaking. What about Kolloshan script? Which alphabet does Allah recognize? So this, or the Ruah, has this very odd opinion that the prohibition of Ksiva Deraita only applies if you write either in Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Yiman. We only looked at Ksav such an Einfach on Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yiman based on the Mishnah Gittin. Mishnah Gittin has the statement if the get is written, you learn Gittin. Get is written in Ashuris, and the witness is signed in Yevamos. So the get is written in Yevamos, and the witness is signed at the bottom of Ashuris, so that's acceptable. Why doesn't the Mishnah say the get is written in another language? You see, in the Mishnah, the only two languages that are recognized, as far as script is concerned, Habashir is in the Rodas. Why should you say like that? Should we add on? No, because it's a Mishnah Megillah. You're only allowed to write the Torah in Ashuris or in Yavadis. The mother and daughter are perfect. You have to look in the Rodas. The Mishnah will always change. The perfect and Parshish Naya. You have to look in the Rodas. You have to put the Shalyetas. You have to put the Shalyetas is referring to the Sabbath Rodas. So you're allowed to write it as a Torah. Pillars can't be written in any other language. Someone does have to be in the original Hebrew. But if you have it as a Torah, and we want to be written in other languages, so one Tana says that's acceptable. And we talk like the Tana, only Sabi Manas. No other Sabi is allowed. So used to be still Sabi Manas is lost today. The Ramam writes in the Pirisham Tana. We don't have that, the Greek, that the Greeks, my shoemaker is a Greek. The Greeks who speak Greek today, the Rambam says that's not the real Greek, that's only baloney. The real Greek is lost today. But the only Constantinople in the 1500s, they still had the name. Master Yonatan used to lay from a cloth that was written in Sabi Manas. Just to preserve the tradition that Alpidin, family understood the Greek. To preserve the Maritat, I got this too. Just to preserve the tradition that Tanakh written in Iran is acceptable. So this is the opinion of the Arzarua. Like, see that the right is only violated if you write in Ashuris or in Yavonis, and it's still recovered by the Mishnah in Megillah. Mishnah in Megillah, that right, you can say, that's a different say the Torah. What is that? It doesn't mean it's a different stuff. His main right is the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin talks that Get is written in Ivrit and the Aden side in Yavonis, but the Get is written in Yavonis, the Aden side in Ivrit, and that's acceptable. Truth of the matter is it's against the Sefer Shigimah. The Gemara says in Yisunah Yetuit, in Gittin, not on Chopasso, is that or something? The Gemara says, who star parso? Oh, so it's quoted on Gimel on the basement, I think. So it's quoted in Gemara from Leila, who star parso? There was a star that was written in Persian. And the Gemara says that they accepted the star. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it's a Sefer Shigimah, that the Get is written in Ashuris. Again, it's written in Yavanis and Zuk. You see, the Gemara understood Yavanis and Mishnah is not about Yavanis. So, Persian script is also acceptable. So, this, the whole Ozarua, doesn't really make any sense at all. What are you going to say? On Shabbos, if you write in another script, it's not a Malacha Derech. So, the Rambam says, you draw pictures of Malacha Derech. Roshan is a Malacha Derech. So, the Ozarua has a different interpretation over there. It has to sit on the test and give a different interpretation of everything. So, the Mishnah of Shabbos says, Hakkai to the Choloshim. A curse the whole ocean is tied. So how can you say that you're not tied if you write in English, or you write in Rashi script, or you write in Hebrew script? So the Mishnah Berurah stands on the test to explain. No, a curse the whole ocean means you write in Hebrew letters, but it's transliterated from English. Let's say you write the New York Times. So you write Z, C-H, New York, time, and so on. So he wrote the Chaloshim, but he wrote the Hebrew script. He wrote the Hebrew character. So the Ozarua has to answer a lot of kashas. There are going to be some kashas that he can't answer. The Gemara in Yisus is a Perish. I start a Pashtor, I guess that's written in Persian. So the Gemara says, my Kamashalon, it's the Perish in Mishnah. So the Mishnah only talks about Yavonis and Ashur. Didn't say a word about Persian. So you see that the Mishnah is about God. So the Ramon, Hilton Shabbos, quotes this Chumrah from the Ozarua. It's a Kulah, and it leads to a Chumrah. It's a Kulah that the only violation of Siva Deraita is you write the Ksav Ashuris in Hebrew, or you write the Ksav Yavonis. And the Nofri is filling out the documents, is filling out narrative. But he's filling out in English. He doesn't know Greek, and he doesn't know Ksav Ashuris either. So the whole Malacha of Siva to begin with is only a Malacha de Rabbanon, and it's Amir, the Nofri is the Shluz de Shluz. They ask the Nachri to do it. They said the Rabbanon is what we call it. It's only also because of the combination of two Yisurim, the Rabbanon. So Shluz, the Shluz, the Makam Mitzvah is Muslim. So that's what the Ramah quotes is, that this Hesed, they ask the Nachri to fill out the document, to buy up the seal, to redeem the seal from the Nachri, and buy it and get it into Jewish control. It's permissible on Shabbos, if need be. Would only apply if the document is going to be filled out in Shabbos, Shabbos, other than Yavonis and Ashur. But if the document is going to be, you're going to have a document typed in Hebrew letters, and the Hebrew letters are Tzav Ashur. So that would be a nisa deraita sin, so there wouldn't be a hetzer of amir v'nachir, even lachim yishaber kitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that this is utterly ridiculous, the Rama should have never quoted this Eretz HaRuah, nobody holds back the Eretz HaRuah. So the Rosh says, start off as a kula, that ksiva, another script is only the Rabbana, and therefore he led to a kula that the only hetzer in our Gemara, amir v'nachir is muta, if it's a shuz deshuz, because the Nachir is writing the document in Arabic and some other script. So this is where it says, we don't pass him like this, not the Chumah, not the Kulah, forget about the whole Ramah. Or HaShulchan is so upset about this Ramah, he says that it's a forgery. He says, the princess puts his mind in. The Ramah would never write such a stupid thing. The Ramah would never pass him a question of the Ruah. It's out of the question. But that, the Sheet of those others. So Rabbi Yosef has a humorous Shulchan. He's a very clean and bigot tzaddik. So a lot of times he writes as a tzimmun. So the Mishnah Berurah writes on this Eretz HaRuah, this is a shita yechidah. Nobody holds like this. A shita yechidah that if you write in any script other than Ashur is a Yibanus, it's only an Issa Dirabanus. So Chacham Avadia writes, why is a shita yechidah? He found two Rishonim who agree. Two Rishonim out of 5,000, still called the shita yechidah. Shita yechidah, the Mishnah Berurah didn't mean one long revision. If you have 3 out of 5,000 Shem, don't say she's in the door. Very tremendously. Chacham Avadia took the Mishnah Berurah, this immense literature, there's only one Mishnah like that. It's still not a Mishnah. Still a she's in the door. So the popular opinion is not like any of these Shoshim. We don't assume that like the Babarit Amir and Nabi is Musa, the Mokim and Musa. We do pass in Amir and Nabi, Mokim and Musa, the Rabbi is Musa. But then you're limiting the Hetzer of the Gemara, but it's only Mutha Mishan Yishu there, so not Mishan Yeshiva there, so that was a big machlokes. That was a big machlokes in the 1500s. The third is being the Rav of the Shul, you know, whole life. And the generally accepted view is the fourth opinion, that the Chachamim felt that probably for political reasons, that the mitzvah of Yishu there, so was so important, they have to lift the prohibition of Amir and Nachir. Don't necessarily mean that the mitzvah itself is more important than other mitzvahs. They saw that this is a mitzvah that was being neglected. This was more important in their time than our time. It's important to buy up all of Eretz Yisrael. They learned that we should use Eretz Yisrael. They permitted this Amir and Nachir. We should really look into this a little bit more. This Ramah, quoted the other Ruach, that we only permit Amir and Nachir to fill out the documents on Shabbos, that the Nachir is going to write in Arabic. He's going to write in some script other than Tzav Ashuris, or other than Tzav Yevonis. So it's Musa because Amir and Nachir and Nisa the Rabbanon and Shuris the Shuris is Musa the Mokan Mitzvah. So this idea ever appears anywhere else in the Gemara? This is the only Gemara Shas that has this idea. So Tosfos quotes with such a parallel Gemara. See, we really don't understand our Gemara like that. That's the only one that learns like that is the Eretz HaRuah. He has fear and intent to give it a shot. But writing in any other, writing in Arabic is only a Malach of the Rabban. We don't really accept that. But the idea that the Eretz HaRuah said, we do accept that. Shruz and Shruz from Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. So where do we get that idea from? If we don't learn shot in our Gemara like that, where is the source? The first is, of course, the source is the Gemara in Erevin tells different stories. The Gemara in Erevin is working on the following thing. If a baby boy is born on Shabbos and the bris is scheduled for next Shabbos, so that's called Mila Bizman. So Mila Bizman is Becher Shabbos. The Gemara explains that performing a bris Mila on Shabbos constitutes a Malacha. It's not so clear exactly what the Malacha is. The Machlok is what the Malacha is. What's wrong with cutting off the Orha Orla on the baby? What's the Malacha? The Samashan said because it's going to bleed. Others say, but you're not interested in the blood. Malacha Shemitzich of the Rufa. It's not because they're right. The Samashayim understood the Gemara Shabbat that performing a bris mila on Shabbat is misakin. Why is misakin? Why? The goyim who don't have a bris mila, their body doesn't function. All the parts of their body function just as well as the parts of the body. So what's the misakin of this? No, misakin of he did. Now you can eat from pesa. If you don't have a bris mila, you can't eat from pesa. That's called misakin. There's the question, that's called misakin of pi halacha. It's not a tikkun in the seer. And the second applies to people. The Gemara talks about the second mana, and the second mana applies to people. Questionable. So that's what some Rishonim held in the mind. Some Rishonim said that the Malach of Gozei, So just like cutting off your hair, like cutting off fingernails, it's a malacha l'gozei, so too if you cut off the arba, it goes. Different suggestions in the Rishonim. It's not exactly clear what the malacha is, but it's clear that there's a nika deraita. One is not permitted to perform a milah shalagim mas. If the baby wasn't born there, Shabbos, he was born a few weeks ago and had to perform the milah because he wasn't feeling well. Even if now he feels well on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mahal Shabbos to perform a milah shalagim mas. It's only mutter in the situation of a milah b'zman. So the Mishnah has, in Masechta Shabbos, 24 prokim. The Mephoshim explained that in the days of the Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 tachshitim. Can visualize how 10 rings, one ring on each finger, a nose ring, an earring, how much more? I don't know. As I said in Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 tachshitim. And Shabbos is a kala. Boy kala, boy kala. So we want, Rabbi Yudah knows he wanted to make 24 tachshitim. The Shabbos a kala, so he arranged the Shabbos in such a way that it should have 24 crops. So to make 24 croquins, that's a little bit exaggerated. You don't need so many croquins. It had a pattern a little bit. So there's one parak of Masechta Shabbos that really has not that much to do with Shabbos, parak of Leda the Mila. Has all of the Dinah Mabrik Mila there. So what, how does it belong? How does it fit into Masechta Shabbos? Has a little bit of that Hilchos Shabbos. If it's a Mila Dizmani, you're permitted to perform the Brit on Shabbos. If it's a Shlod Dizmani, you're not permitted to perform the Brit on Shabbos. And if it's a Sophic Mila Dizmana, also you're not allowed to give you more details about the Sophic Mila. More details about Brisbane. So the Mishnah quotes, the Mishnah in Paris got off with the Machlokes of Lazer and the Hacham, of Lazer ben Hurkinis, was one of the star families who we usually don't follow. The Gemara of Lazer Shamuti, who he's from the Beishamai, and we rarely follow his opinion. His opinion usually reflects the views of the Beishamai. So the Mishnah quotes of Lazer was of the opinion that not only are you permitted to be Mahal Shabbos to perform the actual Brit Milah, he permitted the Mechal Shabbos to do the preparations in advance of the Mila. For example, if the Mo doesn't have a knife, the Moses says he's permitted to chop down logs from a tree on Shabbos that's cooked there in order to have some fuel to burn. You make a fire, you burn the log. You burn the log in order to melt the metal. You melt the metal in order to manufacture a knife. He doesn't have a knife and he doesn't have a fire. He's left with everything to do Mechal Shabbos step after step after step. Chopping off the wood, making a fire, melting the metal, making a knife, so the knife is manufactured in the factory, you have to carry the knife where the baby is, and there's no air, you buy that until the shop is not even built. The legend says everything is permissible as long as it's a shirei mila. If it's a mila bizmana, and the mila bizmana is derech Shabbos, and not only is the actual act of mila itself derech Shabbos, even though all the shirei mila are also derech Shabbos. We don't pass much like legend, we pass much like the Akiva, that only Mila itself, which is the Epshalasim from Bod Yom, is the Hashem. All the Machshirim, which are Epshalasim from Bod Yom, are not the Hashem. If we would have a Machshir Mila, which is the Epshalasim from Bod Yom, that would be the Hashem. Imagine that's what all the Moilam do. Before the Moilam performed this Mila, so they do a probe. Probably they take a sharp instrument and they separate the orlo, they separate the skin of the Ankaroth, from the Aver, from the Aver Hazakas, from the Yid itself. If they're not going to separate it, then they're going to start cutting off, they're going to harm the baby, they're going to rip off part of the Yid. So this probing, most of the time, causes bleeding. So that's the Malacha itself, it causes bleeding on Shabbos. Some of the Malacha de Rabban, then he's still the goofing, he doesn't need the blood, but still it's the Malacha. So the Moilim are in the practice of performing the probing even on Shabbos, because they say that that's the Makshir Mila Shiyach Shalatim from Bod Yom. If he would have done the probing on Erev Shabbos, it would have gotten stuck together with Guk. Friday night, the 12 hours, if you do the probing right before Halachas HaNeiros, so the baby's going to be sitting in his diaper. For another 12 hours, so you're going to do the bris in the morning, so you're going to have to repeat the probe anyway. So this is a machshir mila, shiyach shalat bazon. Then Rabbi Kiva says, machshir mila, shiyach shalat bazon. This is derech Shabbos. But manufacturing the knife and carrying the knife and all the other activities, that's machshir mila, shiyach shalat bazon. So that's not derech Shabbos. So the Gemara says, in the days of the Tanoim, it was considered extremely dangerous to perform a bris mila without bathing the baby with warm water before performing the bris, and then after the surgery, after doing the bris, bathing the baby again with warm water. Why? They have no antiseptic. So if you wash the baby's body with hot water, you can't wash the hot body during the bathing. But as warm as the baby can take, so they assume that this would kill all the germs. By the time he came to the Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s in Tzfat, so the hygienic conditions apparently had improved so tremendously from the days of the Tanaim to the days of the Kara. He says that today we don't wash the baby with hot water before the birth and after the birth today. They have some kind of antiseptic to have there today. For sure we have antiseptic to prevent infection. In the days of the Tanaim, that was the best they could do, to wash the baby with hot water before and after the birth. So the Gemara says, if you don't have hot water, you just don't do the bris meal, because it's going to be a sakana sakosh. So the obvious is to prepare hot water in advance on Friday. Whatever the news is going to be, a bris on Friday, they prepare hot water. So the Gemara tells two stories in Erevin and Dafkam Lechev. The both stories start off with the same expression. Ahu Yeluke, there was once a baby, he was supposed to have a bris meal on Shabbos. The Yishtapech HaMimeh, the hot water that they had prepared on Erev Shabbos, spilled out. And they had no hot water to bathe the baby with before the bris milah in order to perform the bris. If they did what it did, like Rebbe Levi there, then makshir and milah are berachas Shabbos, even efshalat and mevod yom. All the hot ones in advance are also berachas Shabbos. So there would have been no problem. So you can cook up some new water on Shabbos, bathe the baby, and perform the bris in Shabbos. We don't pass like Rebbe Levi, we pass like Rebbe Akiva. Cooking the water is an makshir and milah that could have been taken care of on Erev Shabbos. It's not berachas Shabbos. So what do you do? So in the two stories, each story was a little different. So one situation, another family had hot water. This family, where they were having the grid, so they had prepared hot water and all spilled out. The other family did down the block, and they had hot water. But you couldn't, there was no air, so they were not allowed to carry from the other house to this house. But it was really a Rishu Sayyokhi. There were walls around the whole alleyway, so it's Minatur to Rishu Sayyokhi, but there's a Zera Shlomo Melech, that you're not allowed to carry even, let's say, people live in an apartment building. So different tenants live in a different apartment, and then you have the hallway that's shared by everybody together. So Menatara, Rishu Sayyafid is a Rishu Sayyafid is a Rishu Sayyafid. It's all the same thing. I'm allowed to carry in my apartment, your apartment, the hallway, the lobby, the backyard, any area that's Mukha Zachit is a Rishu Sayyafid. And the Dirabana Shalom HaMelech made a takana that you're not allowed to carry from my house to your house. It's a different family, they say a different family lives there. You're not allowed to carry, or you're not allowed to carry from my house into the hallway that's shared in common by all of the tenants. That's a different kind of Rishon Sayyot. Unless you made an Erev Hashem. So the Gemara tells this story, the other family had hot water, but you couldn't carry it because of the Siddur of the Rabbanon, that it's a Chatz Hashem Morev. It wasn't a Rishon Sayyot, it was a Chatz Hashem Morev. The Gemara says, get a non-Jew to carry the water of the Chatz Hashem Morev. The Taisus line, that's the Shluz Dishluz. The Shluz Dishluz from Macha Mitzvah is Muslim. So even though we don't accept what the Azalua interpreted in our Gemara, the Mishnah Brura, the Hashulchan got so upset and said it's ridiculous. The Hashulchan says that it's a forgery, that the Ramon never wrote it, and the printer smuggled in this line. That the printer made believe as if the Ramon is quoting the Azalua. They both say you shouldn't follow this Azalua. The Azalu interprets in our Gemara that that's the Hetzer, Shluz Dishluz from Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. So we don't accept that as Pshat in our Gemara, but we do accept that as a Pshat in the Gemara in Erdin, that the Eska non-Jew to carry in the Karmelit is only prohibited based on a combination of Tuchel with the Rabbanim. Amir and Lach is Shluz, and the prohibition of Shlomo HaMelech to carry in the Chatz Hashem or Rebbe. So that's the Gemara, that Shluz Dishluz from Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. Taisus raises a possibility. Maybe we should only permit Shluz Dishluz from Makam Mitzvah Mila, because Mila itself is a Malacha. So Mila is Erev Shabbos. And Rablazer, the Tana Rablazer Ben Hurkin, this is all the opinion, they're all Makshir and Mila Erev Shabbos. So we truly don't accept Rablazer's opinion. We talk to Makshir and Mila, Shech Shalaz and Zvogyo, it's not Erev Shabbos. But over here, we have a Shluz Dishluz, and Makam Mitzvah Mila Mizmana, maybe that's a special exception to rule. Maybe you have no right to extend this heter if you say that that's Pshat and our Gemara. So the Gemara is saying, by every mitzvah, and in every mitzvah, Shluz Dishluz from Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. But if you reject the Ozaru as Pshat and our Gemara, which was totally rejected, the only basing your Shita on the Gemara in Erevin So the Gemara in Erevin only says that the Shluz is Shluz Malachim Bris Milu is Muslim. Maybe Malachim Shamrit is not Muslim. The Tzaddikim are not sure about that. So you look in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes into two opinions. One opinion that Shluz is Shluz Malachim Bris Milu is only Muslim Malachim Bris Milu. And the other opinion is the generally accepted view that Shluz is Shluz Malachim Bris Milu is Muslim in any case of any means. The Chacham Rav Avi Yosef has many tshuvas on this topic. One of his tshuvas, he quotes the Chumrah from some of the Achrayim, that the only time he permits a shluz to shluz from Makan Mitzvah is if it's Amir with a Nachri to do a Nisa Dirabah. What if there's no Nachri involved at all? A Jew is going to do some activity that's only prohibited based on a combination of two Chumras in Dirabah. So a small group of Achrayim want to say that that doesn't qualify as the shoes from Makan Mitzvah. It's only room to be made of if it's Amir with a Nachri, and the Nachri is only violating the Nisa Dirabah. So he shows clearly that the Rishonim don't hold like that. Rav HaRishonim, Rav Achrayim, none of the Rishonim hold like that. And the few Achrayim who said like that were really outvoted. We assume that any situation of the shoes from Makan Mitzvah would be Mutter. Many are bothered with a Kasha, which is a mistaken Kasha, that why do you say that the shoes Shalom HaMakam Mitzvah is also? Don't we have a rule in the Gemara that you have no right to make a Gzeirah that's there? Rashi in the beginning of Beis, on the first daf of Beis, Rashi writes that it's an Issur to make a Gzeirah that's there. The pasuk that authorizes the Chachamim to introduce Chumras to the Rabbanim, the first Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Hei Mam L'Shloshet Dvar. So one of the three instructions that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said was, Atei Tiyog LaTorah. You have to make Hachokis, you have to make Tiyogim to protect the din and their rights, to keep that the people don't violate Averis. So Rashi says that the Gemara says in Vam Zafav, Atei Tiyog LaTorah is based on the Pasuk, including Pasuk and Pasha Zachar Mos, where it says Nishmatem is Nishmati. So what does it mean Nishmatem is Nishmati? Atei Nishmeres is Nishmati. You have to make Atei Tiyog LaTorah. The Torah is authorizing the Chachamim and encouraging the Rabban that they should introduce Zeres and Tiyogim and Harkokim. The Rashi writes on the first daf of Masechet Beitza, only Yishmatem is Mishmati, but not Mishmeres and Mishmeres. If you make a Mishmeres and Mishmeres, that's already a violation of all places. We all know that the Rabban have no right to add on new mitzvahs, that's an issue of all places. But the Torah authorizes the Chachamim to add on Mishmatem is Mishmati. But the Torah authorizes a Mishmeres, a Harkokah, a Tzeis, Yom HaTor. They make a Tziyog to a Tziyog, a Mishmeres and Mishmeres, a Gzeirah and Gzeirah, that they had no right to in the first place. The devil reverts back to become a violation of all places. So that's what many ask. Why should every Shmuz, the Shmuz, always be Mutter? Why is it only Mutter for Makan Mitzvah? One is thinking that it's only Mutter for Makan Mitzvah's meal of his mana. Why? A Shmuz, the Shmuz should be a Gzeirah and a Gzeirah. So this kasha is dealt with by many commentaries on the Gemara, the Yeshua, and the Nesidus, and the Sfasenus, and many others in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Yirala. So they explain that Gzeirah L'Gzeirah and Shuas L'Shuas are not identical. Gzeirah L'Gzeirah means that whenever the Chachamim make Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, they have to have some motivation. What prompted them to make Gzeirah D'Rabbanan? They're concerned somebody may violate another. So they only have a right, the Gemara says, Milta the Lashkicha the Gaza Mirabban. The rabbis only have a right to make it there if they really worry that there's going to be a big nichshol. The concern is a serious Hashash Takola, so then they have a right to make it there. What if they're only worried that once every 100 years one Jew is going to be Mahal Shabbos? So that's not fair to make it there because once every 100 years a Jew is going to be Mahal Shabbos. They made it there now out of Losh Shaykhah when Hashanah falls down on Shabbos. They're afraid. A lot of Jews, every time Rosh Hashanah falls on, a lot of people will forget and carry. If they'll allow you to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls on Shabbos, many people, every time Sukkot falls on Shabbos, many Jews will forget and they'll carry the lulav. But if they would have a situation that they're only concerned once in 100 years, someone's going to violate an aver, that's insufficient reason. That's a milsum l'shicha, but God's rabbi, they have the right to make it there. So not only is it a far-fetched chashash, it's hardly ever going to happen. What if they're afraid it will happen, but the worst out there people are going to violate is only out there that are vulnerable. They see the situation. They see if we don't utter B, a lot of people are going to violate A. But A is only needs to be vulnerable to begin with. So that's insufficient cause to make the Gzeira Derabbanan. Only Mishmatem is Mishmati. If you're afraid people will violate the Gzeira Derabbanan, then that's the Torah's goal. Then you have a right to make the Gzeira. But just like if all the whole concern is only from Milta de Lashicha, Fafetch, Hashash, you have the right to make the Gzeira. Even if it is a serious Hashash, the whole Hashash is that people will only violate the Gzeira Derabbanan, but that's insufficient cause to make the Gzeira. So it's only considered the Gzeira Lagzeira if what motivated the Chachamim to make the Gzeira is their concern someone's going to violate an Avera Derabbanan. But here, by Shrut to Shrut, each Gzeira was instituted independently. They prohibited Amir and Nafri because if we'll allow people there for Nafri to do Malacha for them, next thing you know is that the people will do Malacha themselves. I'm going to call the Goy to turn on the light to me on Shabbat. The Goy may not understand, so I'll get so annoyed, I'll turn on the light myself. So we're afraid we instituted the Gzeira of Amir and Nafri because of the Hashash Derayta. Then we instituted the Yisachrei, you're not allowed to carry Nachot Hashem or Remes. Because we're afraid if you allow people to carry Nachot Hashem or Remes, next thing you know, they'll carry the Mishu Zerah. Neither of these Gzeiras was instituted because we're afraid someone's going to violate the other Gzeira. Amir and Nafri was instituted because we're afraid people will violate the Malacha themselves. And carrying an echad to shame wherever it was instituted because we're afraid people carrying the shoes they're up. So the worst you can say is that this is the shoes, it's a trade they're up on. But you can't call it a zero is zero. Zero is zero only applies if the second zero was introduced because you're afraid people are going to violate the first zero. But if each zero was instituted independently because of a hashash deraita, it happened to collide together, so that's called the shoes. It's interesting, it's obvious from this halacha that if something is only prohibited because of the combination of two Yisurim Derabbanan, a Shruz and Shruz, that's considered a lower level Yisur than if something is also because of only one Yisur Derabbanan. That's what you're saying here. Amir and Anachar B'Makam Mitzvah, you're not allowed to do. You possibly have Makam Mitzvah B'Ram, you are allowed to, but if it's a Mitzvah B'Yachid, we wouldn't permit Amir and Anachar B'Makam Mitzvah. Or to carry an Achot Hashem or Remes, you're not allowed to do that for Malka Mitzvah. But the combination of both, Amir and Anach and Achot Hashem or Remes, if it's a Shruz and Shruz, then we do a lot. So the assumption is that if something is also only because of the combination of two Chumas and the Rabbanah, that's a lower level Easter than if something is also because of one Easter and the Rabbanah. We have a similar din to the Gear to Mitzvah. Masha, there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says, that if the best baltikeya in shul is a child before bar mitzvah or a non-Jew, he knows how to blow a trumpet, he knows how to blow shofar very well, or a woman, the child before bar mitzvah, the woman, or the nafri, are not mechuyev in tkiyah shofar. So the mission says, "Mishein mechuyev b'dovor," one is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, and he cannot serve as a baltikeya. To be mostly the whole community. You have to be mechuyev b'dov. So the Mishnah quotes from Machloekes Satanayim in Megillah, what if the Balkari, the best Balkari knows how to read the Megillah, is a child before Bar Mitzvah. So if you, the Talmud says, I was a child before Bar Mitzvah, and I lay in the Megillah, and Rav Tarfon Shul. Tarfon was much older than him. And everybody was yotzei. He is acceptable. Even though I was a Kotzen, it's acceptable. The Chachamim say, Elohim, Raim, and Akotzen, you don't know what you're talking about, you must have forgotten. It's not so. Rav Tarfon would never say that. And we pass through that as well, that the kid, even though the child is a Kotzen in Megillah, you know, and he's Mechuyev to give up on us to hear the Megillah, but he cannot serve as the Balkari to lay the Megillah to everybody else. The Tosfos is bothered with the famous kasha, why not? Everybody else, the whole mitzvah of Megillah is only the Rabbanah. And with the Rabbanah, the kid is Mechuyev to make a Megillah also. So he is Mechuyev to do it. He's on the same level as everybody else. So why can't the child who is Megillah, you know, the child before Bar Mitzvah, a year or two before Bar Mitzvah, understands what Megillah is all about. Why can't he lay in Megillah till he wrote to the Rabbi Zerah also? So Shulchan Aruch, they call Tosfos gives the famous answer, because the adults who are passed Bar Mitzvah are only Mechuyev Achad Rabbanah, and the kid is before Bar Mitzvah is a third Rabbanah. The kid is only Mechuyev based on a combination of two Takanas to Rabbanah. So Trei de Rabbanon is a weaker Chiyuv, not a strong Chiyuv as a Chad de Rabbanon. That's the exact same thing as what Tosfos is saying over here. A Trei de Rabbanon, the Shruz is what we call a Trei de Rabbanon. It's not a Gzeira. One Gzeira was introduced to prevent people from violating an Issa de Rabbanon. So here each Gzeira was introduced independently to protect an Avera de Raisa. But it's a combination. combination. They happen to combine over here to create an Isser. The Isser is only applicable if you combine with the Rabbanon. So if something is a trade the Rabbanon, that's a lower level Isser than if it would have been a Chad the Rabbanon. So a trade the Rabbanon, the Shluz, the Shluz, the Mokhan Mitzvah, we allow. One Shluz, we would not allow the Mokhan Mitzvah. So that's pretty much parallel to what Tyson wrote over there. I'm not sure if it's in Gilead. That a trade the Rabbanon, that child who is before by Mitzvah, who creates the reading of Gilead, is only because based on a combination of two Takamas of Rabbanon, the Mitzvah of Chinuch Mitzvahin, and the Mitzvah of Mitzvah of Gilead the Rabbanon. So a trade Rabbanon is a lower level chiyuv than a chad Rabbanon, so therefore it's not considered mechuyav gadol on the same level as the adult after bar mitzvah. So this is one story that the Gemara in Erevin quotes. Then the Gemara in Erevin quotes another story, but that's going to be a long drawn out story, but that's I'll leave to the Rebbe to tell. The other story was that not that another neighbor had hot water. None of the neighbors had any hot water. And you're not allowed to ask a guy to carry the hot water there from Shisaram their eyes. That's not new. But the Gemara said, let's ask the mother if she needs some hot water to drink. The mother who gave birth to the baby. There was a baby, the bris was supposed to be on Shabbos, they prepared hot water still. So the first story, the neighbor had hot water, but there was no Eretz on the plot. So to ask the guy to carry the Chash Hashem or Eretz is okay. But here, they can't ask the guy to carry the Shisaram their eyes. So are you allowed to ask the guy to cook the water? No, that's the need of their eyes to cook water. So the Gemara has some kind of a trick. If the mother, if she needs a drink of hot water, then we're allowed to cook water for the mother. Who's allowed to cook water? A Jew or a non-Jew? Why allowed to cook water for the mother? What do you mean the mother needs hot water? She needs hot water, she thinks she's going to die without the hot water? Or she's a little uncomfortable, she'd like a warm drink, she's a little chilly. Everything is unclear over here. And look, when you learn this, the babies will explain what's going on. What exactly is the need of the mother? And then if the mother says she needs some hot water, either to save her life or she'd like to keep warm, so then we are allowed to, who's we? The goy or the Jew? It's unclear if that's a soup shotten. We're allowed to cook extra water. So put a whole kettle full of water, even though she only needs a cup of water, put a whole kettle up, and then the extra water we'll use to wash the baby. So that's a long, drawn-out, complicated story. That I'll leave to the Rebbe to come. Okay? If you continue to have much trust in your learning, wonderful to visit all these shoes here now. So, give me a thing. I enjoy things the only people learn to do. Wow, you know.
If you have a question, go ahead.
Is there any deal with the cut and be, you don't say the other time and you also kind of do it?
Yeah. A cut, if you have a youth movement. If you have a mission, a junior minute. A cut, you can meet about first and you might be the other time. But the plug is only is going to cut and do about 13 and let's do the other for the extra time.
I'm wondering if ever could disguise this variation or stand on drinking milk.
I don't have any stand on drinking milk. I'm just obsessed with a strong passion that I've had for many years. And it just bothers me so much. I'm not going to drink milk until I get a good test. The kasha is a very obvious kasha. I've been presenting the kasha for many years in public shul. And I haven't heard a real satisfactory answer. You have an answer?
Do you
strong point. I don't know. That's a strong point. It seems that Tanoim didn't consider that. See, by us, if a Jewish Mechal Shabbos passed, we label him as a Dinakar. Here, the fellow is a good. He is a good. It's not a question of labeling him as a... Violating Shabbos is akin to worshipping other Israel. If a Mechal Shabbos passed, it's even worse than that. But then by a Jew, we say Dinakar. By the non-Jew, by the guest, I should say, even to do with sinner, is also related to other Israel. Yeah, so the kasha that I was bothered with by the milk is very simple. Years ago, 100 years ago, Europeans, they'll say they used to go to the farm and someone would milk the cow and they take a bucket of milk home. So the question is whether the cow is share on that. A cow is not an elephant, it's not a pig. If you take milk from a non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat it. But if you take milk from a cow, but the cow has traces in it. So the Gemara says it's the same. You're not permitted to drink milk that comes from a cow that's a trace. So how do you know whether your cow that you've milked is a trace or a share? You didn't put it through an x-ray to test whether everything is in place. So the Gemara says you follow the rope. The rope behind it, share is same. The Arirai should follow that. So that was good until 100 years ago. They milk a cow, you have a bucket of milk, you take it home, check. You follow the rope, the odds are that it's a kosher cow. Now they have dairy farms. And they have 15,000 cows in one dairy farm. At a small farm, you have 2,000 cows. Tiny farm, you have 1,000 cows. Okay. They don't have a small farm. They have 15,000 cows. They milk all the 15,000 cows, and they mix all the milk together. So the question is, what percentage of cows in general have a trait? So it says in the Eridaya. It says in the Eridaya, when you check an animal, you don't have to check for all of the 70 categories of traits. You have to check all 70. You just have to check for one trait because that's a meal tamar. You have to check for sirchus on the reya, adhesions on the lung. That makes the trait. Why? Manishan, why do you have to check for sirchus on the reya? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ramban, that's a meal tamar. That's a very common occurrence that you have sirchus on the reya. What percentage is considered a meal tamar? So the classical costing in Europe used to say 10%. Yashir points out that in Eretz Yisrael it's only 7% of all the cows that they shed have stirrups. Okay? And he says it's 7%. It's called Neil Tamar. Fine. Rabbi Neubert, the author of the Shemesh Shabbos Rochas, told us that he used to give a hashgacha on shechita in Argentina years ago. He was a young man. That was a little older. He can't do it anymore. So he says in Argentina it used to be 5%. Okay, let's say 5%. Let's say 5%. 5% of all the cows have stirrups on the ray. So if you mix together all the milk from 15,000 cows, and 5% of all the milk is traced, so you don't have shishim. And the din is that when you have kosher milk mixed in with non-kosher milk, you have to have shishim in order to be buffed. In order to have shishim, you have to have less than 2%. 2%, you only have commission. 2% is 150. 150, if you don't have commission, you only have 49. Shishi means you have 60 units of head against one unit of interest. If it would have been 2%, you would have had 49 units against it. Not enough. And it's more than 2%. It's at least 5% of all the animals we know with our eyes closed. At least 5%, 7%, 10%. In America, 10% of all the animals have children. So that's the question. That's the kasha. So you say it's the kasha. And people thought it was a joke. And I didn't think what the terrorist was. You know, I still don't have any terrorists. I'm just so bothered with the kasher. I made up my mind. I'm not going to eat any milk. I'm not going to eat any cheese or milk until I hear a good satisfactory answer to the kasher. There's a big machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. About 4 or 5 years ago, they wrote in all the Torah journals. So those who wrote, why should be often presented by the Gesed? Very understandable. Everybody can understand. Those who wrote by Shmuta, very obscure, ethereal, which Shimon's Krop and Shavuyosh is such imaginary thing. None of that stuff says in the Yeruday. Those who wrote the Yitzchak, that's what it says in the Yeruday. They quote the Yeruday. Those who said Lehetzer, I don't know where they got it from. I don't know what they were talking about. But this was debated a couple of years ago. Mark says what? We have various Gemaras in different positions that say Amir Anachar is Mutar Mabakam Tzab Alekayim and Mutar Mabakam Hatzolos Kisi HaKadosh, but it's not such a long list. The whole list is less than 10. And the common practice is that people ask a non-Jew to do everything with anything and everything we're not allowed to do, so we always ask a non-Jew to do. So that's not right. It's not against the halacha. Tosfos points out that the Tannaim knew that this din of Amir Menachem is not going to have too much luck, that the Jews are going to violate it all the time right and left. So that's why Tosfos interprets in the Gemara, they made a penalty, they made a din of the Rabbanim, trying to leave it to Menachem, leave it on his own. even if the truth is that he did the Nazam, you're also not allowed to get Amar, because the rabbis knew that everyone's going to buy that Amar, but they believe that the guy did the Nazam. So they made a chumrah, even if it's true that the guy did the Nazam, you're also not allowed to get Amar. And then Balabat was once visiting in Toronto, and I met the Balabat from Shavuot. He showed me his whole library. He got a Birusha from his father. His father was a big Mizrahi leader. So he says, when Chief Rabbi Herzog visited his father's home, his father took him into the library to see the beautiful Torah, by the collection. So they had a maid, they had a non-Jewish maid. So the maid turned on the light. So Herzog walked out of the room. So the guy turned on the light. So the maid didn't know what happened. So she looked up on the bus and said, I knew something wrong. So the Balabas explained it. You're not allowed to ask an angel to do something. And so the Balabas explained to her, if you would have sat down and read a newspaper for yourself, so then the rabbi would be allowed to use the light also. But you only turn on the light for the rabbi, is not allowed to. So many years go by, and Rabbi Goren is not a Jewish rabbi. So he comes to visit the rabbi, and he, by this Balabas at 95, and the Balabas shows him his library. It's a little dark in the room. So the maid comes in with a Time magazine. She turns on a light, she plunks herself down, she starts reading Time magazine for 10 minutes, and then she walks out. Rabbi Goren said, what just happened over here? Why did she read the magazine over here? She was sitting in the kitchen and reading. So the Balabas tells us the whole story would happen when Rabbi Herzog is in. He's only understands that she's going to turn on the light only for the rabbi. He's not allowed to get hung up. That's the basic point that the rabbis knew that this din of Amir and Ofri is not going to be observed too well. They knew that the Jews are going to be condemned. Unfortunately, many, many observant Jews violate this din of Amir and Ofri. So that's why they had to be machafik, and they said, even if it's true that the Ofri did it on his own for the Jews, he's still not allowed to get hung up, because they're afraid that they're not going to do it on their own. The Jews are going to ask the guy to do it. We have to be a little more careful. Good, we found all the world's problems. Very good. Some of the Pashtun are so upset that Kafa Chaim says he doesn't even think that the Malkum has to move, you have a right to follow that opinion. You don't talk to anybody. Even Malkum has to move when you say
that. The known,
based on statistics, if you have 50,000 cows, the likelihood is that you are going to have the full
70%. And the problem is that when there's a known problem, but here there's no known problem.
It is different, right. So some, Rabosha Weiss, writes in his sefer, the rive is not statistic, it has nothing to do with statistics. I don't know what that means. What is rive at that? A ballistic concept? Do I mean statistics? My professor used to be the dean, the rector of Bar Ilan, who got me at the OU convention, again, the whole Rosh also like that. Absolutely not. Right, this is it.
Sitting regarding this gentleman here, I mean, the possible thing is based on statistical fact. If you don't know to be the case in this particular scenario, meaning you check things for based on the road, you define it in a month, and you'll check out based on, I don't know, but the statistic that the road exists in the world is in this particular farm, I'm saying that's already a step to make
right.
Such an assumption.
Okay. So that's just I'm not done on that. I don't find that to be fact. It's more has been based on statistics. It's called road notion of the yoga. That's a statistic. So we might have given it all.
Family calls and stock also, or no?
I'm not stock. I'm just obsessed with the cash. Not to the yoga. The yoga gives us a lot of money. Thank you for listening. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.